No, then, mate, how's it going?
Well, yeah, good, I'm all right, fit, mate, thank you. Tired, just come off nights.
Ah, fair play. Yeah, I was reading, do you work at Siemens, is it?
Yeah, I work at Siemens currently, yeah. It's not easy, I tell you, I've been playing football all day long.
Yeah, fair play. You only retired last year, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I came back after the COVID stuff and like that, and then Chris Baller asked me to go back to Ferriby, and I was like, no, I've had enough now. Like, I like playing golf and everything else, so just do that.
All right then, Gary, cheers for doing this, mate.
Yeah, no problem.
Obviously, if we just take it back a bit, I was reading a bit about your career today. I didn't realise you actually started off at Newcastle, is that right?
Well, I didn't actually start off at Newcastle. When I first started playing football, I started at the... Do you remember I used to have Hull City School of Excellence? I was Centre of Excellence, stuff like that. Started there. And then I played for a game for Barham as a guest. I used to play for Springhead and people like that, but my mates played for Barham. Said, do you want to come and play? We'll play Newcastle. Played them away and we beat them 4-2 or something like that and scored a hat trick. And they signed me after that, basically, pretty much. So, yeah, we're good up there, yeah, brilliant.
What you doing? Is it like travelling up there for training and stuff then, or did you move up there?
No, we didn't move up there because obviously it was only schoolboys, so we just used to travel on the weekends and stuff like that and for games and stay over in an hotel for the weekend. It was real good though. Me and my friend used to do it at Glencaven.
Ah, yeah, he played for City, didn't he?
Yeah, so we both was going up there, yeah. We used to have training in Hull as well with a bloke called Nigel Richardson. He's a coach, so Newcastle opened a little excellent centre around Hull, so we could train for the week and stuff as well.
Ah, nice one. So who was the manager at Newcastle at that point? Was that like mid-90s?
Yeah, well, it'd be mid-90s, yeah. It was Kenny Dalglish, and it was good.
Ah, okay.
I'm a big Liverpool fan, so yeah, it was great. It was Kenny Dalglish, and there was loads of good players at the time. It was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So when it comes to like signing proper, then what happened? Why did he choose City?
Do you know what? Looking back, it was a maybe I go for City, fact, but it was a mistake really. I just wanted to come back to Hull. I'd been at Newcastle for 4 years, and they offered me a scholarship and YTS at that time, YTS and a pro, and I turned it down and just rang. Do you remember Rod Arnold, who used to be at Hull?
Yeah, yeah.
I just rang Rod and said, look. I want to come back to Hull, what's the chances? And he went, oh yeah, definitely. So I just went from there and came back to Hull.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was it Billy Russell, youth team manager at that point?
It was literally Rod Arnold last year. And then Billy Russell came in the same day that I basically signed. So yeah, it was Billy Russell.
Okay. And I mean, he had a good reputation at the time, I remember. I think you doing the youth team were doing well under him. Like, what was he like to play for?
It was brilliant. It was strict. He was a typical Scotsman. He was straight to the point. He was a real good coach and he just wanted to get the best out of everybody. And I think we had a real good time with the youth team. I think we won a league or something like that. I can't really remember. But we had a lot of good players at that time. I remember we used to have like people like Nathan Pete, Steve Burton, obviously Glenn Kirby, because he came back after a while. We had Clayton Donaldson played up front with him. There was loads of good players. Like, do you remember Martin Thacker and people like that? And,
yeah, I remember all these names, yeah.
Yeah, all them names. We had a really good team.
Yeah, yeah. And then you even got a chance at 17, I think, under Warren Joyce. Like, did you see that coming?
No, to be honest with you, I didn't. But I just remember I'd been at YTS for about 3 months and then Warren Joyce came up to me. So I think he got took on as manager because he was going for that Great Escape and all stuff like that. And he basically said to me he wanted to offer me a pro contract straight away. So he offered me a 3-year deal after 3 months of the YTS. And then it came to the point where I think he got sacked and Brian Little came in. And he obviously knew about the offer that had been put on the table, but he wasn't going to guarantee it. So he said to me, we had a reserve game at Guildford Park. He said, you've got half a game to prove that you weren't basically the 3-year contract. It looked like I played well in the first half and scored. And he just said, yeah, you can have it. So,
yeah, fair play. I suppose taking it back a little bit, Gary, I usually ask people what the first memories of Boothry Park are. Like, when do you first remember going as a kid?
Well, it's a strange one, like, because my first memory of Boothry Park was, do you remember, you know a bloke called Jeff Barnby, won't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how it even came about, but he ended up taking me to the School of Excellence, and we went to the big gym behind Boothry Park, and it was a horrible, stinky place, and it was just wooden floors and stuff like that. But that's the best, my first actual memory of Guildford Park, which is not probably a good one, but that's I remember going.
Yeah, I remember that gym with all like the massive rivets in the floor.
Yeah, we used to have goals painted on the wall. It was nothing like it now. Proper old school.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, were you a City fan growing up then, or were you more Premier League based?
No, I've never been a City fan. Everyone says, actually, how can you play for City or be from Hull and not support City? But again, I think my dad bought me my first Liverpool shirt when I was about 3, and I've just supported Liverpool ever since. I mean, they always keep an eye on City, like, see how they do well. And I know a few, I know Jacob will play from now, obviously, because of I played with his dad and stuff like that.
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, he currently lives on my estate. He left one of his cars outside her neighbour's house. And they've been complaining about it, and essentially, why has it been here this long? He's trying to sell it. Tell a message and say how many bloody cars you got now. But yeah.
Do you think it made that easier for you when you played for City then? You didn't have that pressure on your shoulders of, you know, playing for your hometown club. You were just, it was like any other club really, or not really.
I've never found playing football of pressure. I've never really understood people get under pressure about playing football, because it's just something you enjoy doing. You with all your friends, and if you're half decent at it, then it should come naturally. I love playing football, even in front of crowds and stuff like that. Never had a problem, never felt pressure. But I get what you're saying, is it because you didn't support them and stuff like that, but I didn't even think about it like that, to be honest with you. I just enjoyed playing football.
Then, yeah, just looking at your games, I mean, the big one for me, I remember, was obviously when you scored against Mansfield.
Yeah.
Billy Russell was caretaker.
Yeah.
How big a moment was that for you at the time?
Do you know what? I can remember scoring, and I just thought, I don't even know what to do. What do you do here? I've never done anything like that, obviously, in front of a big crowd like that. And then I remember Gary Alexander and a couple of other players just grabbing me and taking me to, was it the Kempton stand-up he used to have?
Yeah.
To celebrate, but yeah, I didn't know what to do. I just thought, oh, I'll score here, so. But I didn't know how to celebrate at the time. I just didn't think about it. But yeah, it was a massive moment. It's kind of bittersweet, because I knew going into the game that I'd had a bit of a back. My back had been playing me up, basically. But Billy Russell said, you're starting, so I thought, well, I'm not going to say anything. So I played a pace, I scored, played well, came out for the second half, and my back was just doing too much. I thought, I can't carry on like this. And then I had to go off after, I think, about 50 minutes. So much of it was brilliant and one of the highs, it was just really disappointing as well, because I think that ruined me a little bit, to be honest. Get me out for 5 or 6 games. I think if I'd have been fit, I'd have carried on in the team, if you know what I mean.
Right, okay. So it killed the momentum kind of thing.
Oh yeah, massively. Yeah, because after the back of that goal, I was going to be getting a new deal. I think, I don't know how it had been agreed, but yeah, but obviously then I got the injury and it didn't really help, if you know what I mean, going forward.
Fair. Just in terms of managers then, obviously you mentioned Billy Russell, like how did he compare to the other managers you played for? Did he feel more comfortable playing for him, or does it not much difference for you?
I think it was definitely more comfortable, because I knew him more. I loved Warren Joyce. I thought Warren Joyce was amazing. I think he'd come from being I think he was playing manager only at the time.
Mm.
And he was just like one of the lads, and he was easy, and he was really easy to talk to. Billy was the same. You just know when someone's got full trust in you. Because every time Billy Kidd seemed to take over, I'd get more of a chance. Because I think obviously he knew what I could do more. Under other managers, a bit more difficult. They weren't as approachable. Just not as easy to talk to, a bit more stuck up. And because like Peter Taylor, as much as he was a good coach, I just didn't really like to talk to him. Because I thought he was just, before he was a big guy. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's done brilliant and he is a good coach, but just one for me personally.
Yeah, fair. What about, not really talking much about Jan Mulby on the podcast, but I've heard obviously a mixed reviews about what you hear about him. What was he like?
Yeah, again, he was another one. He was a funny character, unbelievable player in training, even though he was a big round ball. He could still pin the ball, and he was good. But I remember tackling one time in training, because I was just young, energetic, didn't care who anybody was. And I went through him in training and just went crazy, just elbowed me and everything, said, don't you ever do that again.
Wow.
But, there was Jan Mulby, there was Brian Little, there was Peter Taylor. I can't remember who else. We've had Warren Joyce, Billy Russell. I think there's about 5 different managers.
Yeah, but I think that's
Out of all of them, Billy Russell and Warren Joyce I preferred more than anybody. Brian Little was all right. But yeah, just me personally, that's what I preferred.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you had a few games under each manager, really. Obviously, you got the one goal, but do you feel you should have scored more? Or do you feel it should have been given more of an opportunity?
I definitely think it should have been given more of an opportunity, yeah. Because I think it was scared because I'm young, obviously, and they want experienced pros and stuff like that. But to me, even at that age, I thought, I can do a job here. I'm as good as him. Like, you had people like, God, who's that big striker? We had Kevin Francis coming into the club, and you look at him, you're thinking, what's going on? How is he getting the game ahead of you? Then sometimes he even used to play, is it Matt Bloomer?
Yeah, I remember that name, yeah.
I mean, I like Matt, he's a great lad, but he was a centre-half, he was never a striker. I think even he plays sometimes.
Oh, right.
Games, and I'm like, what's going on here? But I think it was awkward to my age and stuff like that. Maybe they just didn't trust someone young to do the job.
And what about the other, yeah, you mentioned a few of the strikers, like Skerelex, Alexander. Like, who did you look up to in the team? Was there anyone that was particularly good with you in terms of, like, you know, putting your arm around you kind of thing?
It was all good, to be honest with you. The strikers were great. I got on with Gary Alexander real well, David Brown, Jamie Wood, all of them. But out of all of them, like, obviously, Fido Whitmore. But the people I kind of used to look up to was for finishing wise and thinking, oh, God, they're good, they can do it, was Alexander, David Brown. Their finishing was unreal, I thought. Me personally, watching them in training, if you were to look at them and think of, yeah, they can finish, I'd like to do a bit of that. But I thought I could finish. So as much as I looked up to them, I thought I can do that as well. But there was a lot more experience. They had a lot more games, football league-wise. They was always going to get a chance more than me.
Yeah, but I was talking about this one recently about mentality. And you saying you always backed yourself, then you always had that self-belief.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. I didn't ever think anybody was better than me. It was just a case of me being young. So I wasn't going to get the chance. But there was nobody I've ever looked up to and thought, or played against, or played with, and thought, you're better than me. I've always thought, I can do this.
And I mean, the amount of goals you were scoring in the youth team, was there ever a chance to move away? You must have had interest when you were at City.
Do you know what? I don't even know, to be honest with you. No one's told me if there was. But I don't know if there was interest at all. That's a good question, actually. But I don't think I would have moved anyway, but because it was youth team football, I probably thought, well, it's a youth team player anyway, so that's what people do in a youth team. If they'd done it first team on a continuous basis at the start, there probably would have been interest. It seems to be now, like, if you look at people in the same first team will score a few goals, they always was interest straight away, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you've got Lewis Cotter, who maybe going to, where's it going? Brentford or someone like that. As the years went on and you scored a couple of goals in first team, there was more interest, but back in the day, there didn't seem to be any. Or if there was, I didn't know about it.
And, you know, what about the characters in the dressing room, obviously?
Yeah.
During your time, the likes of Gary Brabin.
Oh, God.
You must have some stories.
Well, again, it's like times have changed, so you won't get these characters in the game anymore. If you do, it's on the down low, but you had Jason Perry, John Whitney, Gary Brabin. Even people like Fido Whitmore and Ian Goodison, who you'd think would be quiet. They're all good characters. Everyone was a good character. You had Alexander, you had Mac Lennon. All of them was good lads. But I remember, it's horrible to talk about, really, but Jason Perry and John Whitney used to do things like drinking each other's piss. Can I swear on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just drinking each other's piss, and then you get people shitting in someone's boot. So when they go put it on and stuff like that, it was crazy times, but really good fun times as well.
Yeah.
But I think that's totally died out again. I would be nothing like that now.
Yeah, how do you reflect on it? Do you think it's a good grounding for young players to have that kind of atmosphere in the dressing room?
I think it helps, especially as a young kid going into a load of lads who are very welcoming and there's loads of fun going on. You can get involved and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would say it's a good grounding. I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Do you have like a proper YTS then, where you like doing jobs around the ground and that?
That's another strange one. It's funny you say that, because as soon as I became a YTS, it seemed to, I don't know where it came in place, but the rule was that the YTSs weren't allowed to do these cleaning up the changing rooms and such as anymore. we did little things like cleaning the balls and cleaning the pros' boots and stuff like that, and giving it change room a general tidy. But it stopped all the basically making the YTS do the jobs.
Ah, okay, fair. And then, yeah, you mentioned Peter Taylor, and obviously he was the last manager you played for at City. Like, what? Can you remember what happened at the end, really?
Yeah, because he sent me out on loan at Scarborough, and I really didn't want to go to Scarborough, but he said, oh, you can go there for a few games. And I was there under Russell Slade. Well, obviously, he went on to the world, but I just didn't want to be there. And I think I kind of fell out of love with the game for a bit at that time. And I didn't have a bad attitude as such, but I rang Russell Slade and just said, we had a game away right down south or something like that. And I thought, I don't want to go. So I just rang him and said, I'm not coming. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not interested. I don't want to play football anymore, basically. And obviously went back to Peter Taylor, and obviously he wasn't happy at all, but I had 6 months left on my contract, something like that. And he said, oh, I don't know if we're going to be offering a new deal. And I just said, well, I'll save you the trouble. I'm not really bothered about playing football. So we'll just leave it there. If you want, you can let me go now. And he went, yeah, all right, that's fine. We'll let go. So I thought, that's it. He said, don't come training and stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, no worries. Not a problem. I was in bed on the Monday morning, got a phone call from secretary saying, where are you? And I'm like, well, I'm in bed. I've been told not to come and train. And he went, get yourself to training. Now you've been fined 2 weeks' wages.
Oh, dear.
So Peter Taylor done me 2 weeks' wages. So I had to turn up on the training ground late looking like a dickhead. But, yeah, it wasn't my attitude. I just totally fell out of love for playing football because I was just sick of, I suppose, not getting a chance and then sent out to Scarborough and stuff like that. I thought, what for? When I can be here playing for them. So, yeah. It was a strange one. Yeah, I just didn't, from that moment with Peter Taylor, I just thought, well, he fined me 2 weeks' wages, and then you're the one telling me not to come.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you turn around on me and say you're fined, and that's, you just kept doing that, basically fining me.
Okay. So what, if you answered it already, like what was making you fall out of love with football?
Like I said, just probably not getting the chance, and I think that's more it than anything, just, well, I wasn't getting a chance to play for first team. I was always playing reserve team football or like going back to the youth team because obviously I was young and stuff like that. And I thought, I'm better than this. I know I can do it. But you're just not willing to give me the chance. And maybe looking back, it wasn't the right way to think about it. You should have thought, well, I'll keep going, I'll get the chance. But at that time, my mindset was, no, I'm good enough. I just lost me a little bit, I suppose you could say.
Reading you went to Hall Road and Harrogate, like how did those moves come around then?
The Hall Road one was simply just, I had been playing football and someone said, do you want a game? So I was like, oh yeah, I'll have a game. No disrespect to Hall Road, at that time I was better than Hall Road, but I just wanted to play a bit of football because I was trying to get the love back for it. So I went and played, I literally had two games for Hall Road, enjoyed it, and then Harrogate Town rang me in a kick block called John Reid. He's a big legend in non-league football for management and stuff like that. He said, do you want to come to Harrogate? So, but yeah, I'll go down there. And it was good. It was good while I was down there.
Yeah, is it a few months before you joined Ferriby kind of thing?
Yeah, because I think I was at Harrogate and then Brian France got in touch with myself and John Reid and said, do you want to come here? Then I looked at him and thought, well, yeah, it's 5 minutes down the road for me. I think there was only a league below at the time. So I thought it's perfect for my location. Right? So went then. That Ferriby, I really didn't look back. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, first spell, really, you scoring a goal a game, I think.
Yeah. Oh, God, I was. For Ferriby, I think he ended up scoring about something like 260 goals, but...
Yeah, didn't he become the top scorer ever or something?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that'll never get beaten, obviously, because that club got expunged, didn't it? So,
right, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think it would have been beaten anyway, to be honest with you, but it was just great. It was a real good family atmosphere down there. You had Brian France, who... He's a right character. He wanted the best manager, but he just knew how to get the best out of people, if you know what I mean. Good man manager. Anyway, Les Air, the chairman, who was really welcoming. And then again, you had the lads who were, a lot of them was all local at that time. It was just really good.
Was Glenn Cave from the Ferriby with you there as well?
I think he came for a little bit, Glenn, but I don't think Glenn will mind me saying this, but he lost his way a bit.
Okay, right.
As he's going through, obviously, his late teens and the early 20s. Got into drinking and stuff like that a bit. But yeah, he was there for a while. He was a great player. He was the best two-footed player I've seen, I've played with. Him and a kid called Graham Hopper, so he was at sea when we were younger, and they said, oh no, you can't, we can't offer you a pro or a YTS because you're too small. And I thought, well, he's half an inch smaller than me. What's the difference? Because he was quality.
Hmm.
But yeah, there's a few ex-Hull City players down here, Ben Morley, Chris Bowler. And you look back, you had Price, you had loads of people who come through there.
Adam Lothot there at that point.
No, I think he'd left by the time, but Robbie West was in there. You remember Gary Hobson and people like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Dean Fisher, all them old ones. They were all there.
Me and my dad used to come watch it during that time. I remember a player called Nathan Stead being pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I know Steady as a person, but I didn't know him as a player. But I was one of my best mate, Footy. He played with him, and he said he was a really good player. Was he an ex-Hull player as well?
I think he might have been a youth player at City, but yeah, he never really. Well, I've heard things like, remember a bloke called Dave Bond who used to write for the paper?
No, sorry.
He said something like he got Nathan Stead a trial for Burnley once and he just couldn't be asked to go.
Really?
So I think maybe just enjoy playing for the fun of it, maybe, yeah.
That's what it came to in the end. I just wanted to play and enjoy it, enjoy everything about it. And that's why it was so good at Perry for me.
Hmm. But you did enough to get a chance at a Football League game with Cheltenham, didn't you? Like, what was the story with that?
Yeah, I had three different clubs to go to. It was York City, Cheltenham, and I can't remember the other clubs to go to myself. It was a League Two club. But I spoke to John Ward, who was the Cheltenham manager at the time, and it was just a good opportunity to go play somewhere different. I don't know how it came about. I must have been scoring goals for Berribee, and the dad's scouts looking at me and stuff like that, and said, do you want to come and have a trial? We went up and played at Swindon's ground, played Swindon, we beat them. I scored, and they offered me a year deal then.
Okay, so, and then I was reading, admit you got sent off in one of your first few games?
Yeah, it was never a sending off, it's absolute joke. Basically, I came on as a sub. The left back's gone to clear the ball, I've just obviously, you know, where you put your foot in, turn your back a little bit. He's gone through and kicked my foot, and I've been sent off because he reacted. There was a kid called Gareth Jelling, and I don't remember it. He just reacted so bad and started grabbing me and stuff like that, and you know how it goes then, and the referee just sent the both off. Never a red card, mental.
Ah, okay. Did that kind of, like again, like you said about after the Mansfield game, that kind of kill your momentum at Cheltenham a bit?
Obviously, yeah, it didn't help straight off. One of your debut getting sent off after 20 minutes. All my mates came down to watch me and I travelled 3.5-4 hours and went, you know, you've been sent off after 20 minutes, what was the point? And I'm like, well, yeah, you never a red card though. But yeah, going to Cheltenham, when I first went there, I had a little groin strain, but again, I didn't say anything. We did a little kind of a small medical, what you want to call it. But I just said, I've got a little groin strain, that's all I think it is. And that was it. But going through training every day, and I was like, God, this is killing, it's getting worse. Every time I was striking the ball, I thought, what's going on? Ended up, I had a double hernia.
Oh, right, shit.
On both sides. So again, like, you'd be training for a few days, then you'd have to pull out. Then you'd have to miss a game. Which is, that's bad luck, I suppose. But it was good. It was good down there. Good area. Nice place to live for a while.
Okay, were you there for about a year or something?
Yeah, I think I was there for about 9 months. And then, again, I won't play. I just got in touch with Perry. He said, do you want me to come and play on loan or something like that? I'll have a word, see if we can come out for a bit. And John Moore said, yeah, if you want to have some games, you can go do this. And then that was it. Went back to Perry. And then didn't end up going back to Cheltenham.
Yeah, fair. But you went on to score, shed a load of goals with Ferriby. And like you say, were you just enjoying your football for those seasons?
Yeah, it just seemed to click every time I was at Ferriby. I just seemed to score loads of goals. Because I think if I got the chance in Football League more, I'd have done it then. But just never really got that chance, which is a shame, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Like obviously here, you know, it does take a bit of luck, doesn't it?
I think it does. Football's a lot about who you know and timing as well, like you said, and timing, but a lot of it's who you know.
Okay, I remember
Peter Jelly was to bring that Junior Lewis everywhere with him. And he was quango, he couldn't even kick a ball, and you're like, I don't know how he's made a living as a professional footballer. But I think you'll get a lot of managers who will, if they like someone, they'll latch onto him.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of who you know in football.
He literally played every position, didn't he? He was even in goal at one point.
Oh, that's it. It's a joke, isn't it? You got left with him and then end up at Hull. And I didn't even play with him at Hull, I don't think, but I watched him and I thought, God, you're crap. And there's a lot, honestly, I think there's a lot of footballers playing in the Football League, even now, I think it's crap. But it's all you know, and you get the chance. And as long as you're kind of a steady Eddie, you'll be all right with him.
So I'm reading as well that you ended up back at Scarborough at one point under a charismatic manager, apparently Rudy Funk.
Oh, under Rudy Funk, yeah, he was the right character, Romanian Rudy. But yeah, was at Ferriby, and I'm quite loyal to my mates, and Chris Boner and Paul Foot at the time. We just won the treble. We went to see Billy Heath afterwards, and Billy basically said to Chris and Footy that I am going to offer you a contract as a pay-as-you-play thing. He offered me a contract to stay on. But even at that time, yeah, I was on the bench quite a lot with Billy. For some reason, me and Billy didn't see eye to eye. He was playing, do you remember Ryan Kendall and stuff like that?
Yeah, I remember the name, yeah.
Yeah, and Anthony Wilson. And don't get me wrong, they did well. They did brilliant. They scored a lot of goals. But went into talk with Billy and he said, oh, I don't think you did enough last year and stuff like that, but I'm going to offer you a contract. And I said, hang on. I said, you started me 27 times last year. They went, yeah. I said, I scored 26 goals. So I said, how have I not done enough? They went, well, yeah, I know what you're saying. But then once I heard that, they'd done that with Chris and Foy, I thought, you can get lost. Foy's captain, you foot to the treble. Bowler's been ever present. And then we got the chance to go to Scarborough with this Rudy. Because Darren France was his assistant.
Okay, right.
Actually, I know Darren through his dad. And I just thought, it's different. The club's on the up. They were trying, obviously, to get him back to where they're going now. I just thought it'd be a good opportunity to go play for him. And again, that was good. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I was reading you got 50-odd goals there, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't really play as a striker as such for Scarborough. I kind of played on the, like, you play three up front, you play across there, or play number 10. I played midfield sometimes. But yeah, I seemed to score for them as well. I think it was more like a 1-2 kind of ratio, I think. So, not bad.
Can I imagine they had quite a big following, did they?
Yeah, well, we played at Queensgate, Bridlington, and we used to get, I'd say, 600, 700. But even that was good because obviously they had to come on Scarborough, which is not far, but it's good for non-league at that time.
And then, reading, you went to Hull United at one point. Was it Woodhouse the manager?
Yeah, Curtis sold me the dream. one of them I've got a lot of time for Curtis. He's a great bloke, but I don't even think he saw it coming with what was going on at Hull United. He offered me decent money in non-league to go play for them. But that came about because I'm loyal. Footy and yours, I do Brian Hughes.
Yeah, yeah. But
obviously, we're all good mates, and I think they was going to get the sack at that time. And I thought, I'm just going to get out while I can. And then Curtis rang me, said, come and play, good money, we'll do this, we've got all this happening. So I was like, yeah, within a week, I'm getting paid and stuff like that. It was a shambles. So that, yeah, that was a good experience. As much as it was a good experience, it was funny looking back, but it wasn't.
Was Ashby involved in that?
Yeah, it was Curtis and Ash, yeah. They were both there. But again, in fairness to them, I don't think they knew what was going on. I don't know if it was Jamie Waltham who was the chairman at the time. It would have been, because, you know, Jamie's like, well, yeah, I don't think they saw that there was going to be no money and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then finishing your career off at Ferriby, was it nice to kind of be back there?
Yeah, I've always said I'd like to have finished my career at Ferriby, and then I was at All Road playing for them. And then Robbo rang me, Paul Robson. I've known Robbo since I was 7 years old. He used to man mark me all the time because he was another decent player. But he just said, oh, do you want to come to Ferriby? I was like, 100%. Don't get me wrong, I knew I wasn't going to play often because I think I was 37 at the time or something like that, 36, 37. But just to go back to Ferriby and enjoy it for a bit, that's what I wanted to do. And yeah, it was brilliant.
So you've had like 20 years of playing football. It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, I think that I started obviously when I was 16 at City and then finished at 38. So 22 years of adult football. I thought,
yeah, getting paid.
That's why I thought, that's enough now. I need to do something else. And I started playing golf with, you know, Ryan Williams.
Yeah, yeah. He at Ferriby at one point?
Yeah, me and him are still real close. Because he came to see we signed him from Chesterfield. And
yeah, I remember that, yeah.
We've been good mates ever since. And he was playing at Elsham and he said, oh, come on, have a few games, see if you enjoy it. I just got the bug straight away. I thought, I'd rather do this than football now. There's no aches and pains. There's no freaking out of breath. No getting smashed all the time. So I thought this is perfect.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Now I'm a bit older. I keep wanting to get good at fishing and golf, but I'm not good at either yet.
Oh, fishing, you're not fishing. I can do it. I should come to sit there and be like, oh, waiting for something to bite on my rod. I'm like, oh, no. golf, I love it.
Yeah, I suppose just the last one, like, we've kind of gone over it already, but is there anything you would do differently about your time at City or your career in general?
Yeah, I think I'd lived a bit different. I used to, not fair to say, probably go out too much. So if there's anything I would have done, it'd have been that. I still trained hard and played the same and stuff like that, but I think I'd have just changed my lifestyle a bit more to how it should be.
Must have been some, I mean, I was listening to a podcast on Matt Glennon, and he used to say how he was pretty much in three tons before the fans after some games. So was there a bit of a culture back then?
Oh, it was a massive culture. Like Matty Glennon, Pricey, Gary Alexander, Laurie Dudfield, all of them. It was, like, I think it was back then, though. Back in the day, football was like that. Whereas now it's just 10, total 360. No one does it really now. Or the lads live a bit differently, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, someone on Twitter did ask, the life of Brian said, did you prefer LA's or Boomba?
LA's, but even then, you used to stick to the floor all the time. He knocked down now, ain't it? No wonder. You'll never catch that tiger.
Thanks for listening to this episode of This Was Boothry Park. As always, just like to give a quick shout out to those who made the research easy, including OnCloud7, TigerTube Player, Tiger Bass, and Rich Gardens The Decade.